Well, it's only natural that an investor will want to purchase a property that's popular with the vast majority of renters to obviously get a higher return. For that reason, it's important to note that in a recent CoreLogic report, it was revealed that 71% of households in Australia are characterised as families or households where the occupants are related. Interesting also to note that 60% of those households have children residing in the dwelling. So it does follow that these family-type properties will attract more consistent and possibly even higher rents. To talk about the report from CoreLogic, joining me, Tim Lawless. G'day, Tim. Thanks for your time.
No problem, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show.
Tim, whereabouts are these properties found in different parts of Australia?
Well, they're all over the place, actually. There are some fairly evident concentrations of areas that have a really high proportion of families. But you'll find across each of the capital cities and the major regional centres, there are enclaves where families do seem to be most concentrated. Mm. So you'll find, for example, that they generally do tend to be a little bit further from the city, where properties are a little bit more affordable, but also where transport options are quite prolific and all the necessary amenities are located around those areas as well.
Tim, what were the key areas in Brisbane you identified as being the most family-friendly?
There is quite a broad spread of the areas that are most popular with families, but the number one on the list for Brisbane was actually Mackenzie, just outside of Mount Gravatt to the south of Brisbane there. It had nearly 71% of all households were characterised as family households with children. So Mackenzie, about 12.5 km from the GPO, and the typical price of a house in Mackenzie at the moment, it's about $790,000.
And what about land area? Is it a fairly generous size in Mackenzie, I think, isn't it?
It is. And this is the common denominator across most of the top 20 for Brisbane, is the land areas tend to be quite large, particularly when you compare it to some of the larger cities like Sydney or Melbourne. So Mackenzie's typical or average land area is just over 1,000 square metres. I think that's being pumped up a little bit by some of the very large blocks of land that have sold there. It's, you look at some of the other suburbs on the list going down, it's a lot of the acreage areas like Gumdale, New Beef, Upper Kedron, areas like around Pine Mountain, Pullenvale are all on this top 20 list, and you'll find that the typical land size is generally upwards of 1,000 square metres in some of those areas.
Tim, on a national scale, did one capital city stand out from the rest in terms of its popularity for establishing a family property?
It did. It was Sydney. And Sydney really stood out quite clearly. And it was the southwest region of Sydney that had 10 of the top 20 suburbs that are most popular with families with kids. So if you look at that top 20 table, which is available on the Aussie website, it starts out at West Hoxton and then Horningsea Park, both in the southwest of Sydney, where we've got nearly 80% of all households in those areas are characterised as family households with kids.
Mm. I mean, is there anything that stands out? Why are these areas so popular for families?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. They're clearly quite affordable by Sydney standards. You know, the typical price of a dwelling in both those suburbs is around about $840,000 to $890,000. So you might hear that and think, wow, that's not all that affordable, actually. But in Sydney terms, where the typical price of a house is generally up around $1 million mark, these are relatively affordable suburbs, but they're also on pretty decent transport thoroughfares. They've got a lot of amenity around them. It's quite established areas at many of these locations. And you do find that they also seem to have a commonality amongst themselves, which is there's not a great deal of densification in a lot of these very popular areas. So while land sizes may be getting a little bit smaller, we're not really seeing an introduction of medium to high density dwelling options.
Mm. You mentioned their affordability, and it's debatable whether that figure in Sydney is affordable, but we'll go with that theory. Is affordability the key? Is that in each of these areas, did it have to be affordable?
Well, not really. And, you know, there's a lot of elements that I think families are looking for outside of the price tag. If it was purely based on affordability, you'd be finding there's a lot of other suburbs that are more affordable, for example, than West Hoxton. So it comes back to a blend, I think, of suburbs being, yes, very affordable or comparatively affordable, but also having access to infrastructure, having access to amenity like schools and healthcare, shopping facilities, and of course, having a decent commuting time into the main areas of work as well. So I think it's really that blend of the price tag along with what's actually available in the suburb in terms of amenity and infrastructure.
Did you notice that, were there any key statistics that you used to define these areas, Tim?
Well, it's a blend of census data and housing data. So we looked at the census data, which is still reasonably fresh, and down at the suburb level, we looked at those suburbs that showed a high proportion of families with children. So that's couples with kids, as well as single-parent families. And then based on those lists of where families were most concentrated, we then matched up with all the relevant property data. So what's the typical buy-in price for a house and apartment? But also, what's the lower quartile value? So you can really see what's the entry point rather than the middle price or also the upper price. We looked at the average land size in the area, and that was one of the interesting things, is quite often these areas that are popular with families tended to show larger blocks of land as well. And then we also looked at how many sales there were and all those sort of things that, that people would be looking for.
Yeah. Tim, do you think the definition of the family home has changed over the decades?
Well, it has to some extent. You can see the trend towards smaller households has certainly been evident. It seems to be bottoming out now at around about 2.5 persons per household. But we are seeing families now generally with fewer children, but also families, there's been this trend towards families in some cases sacrificing their backyard and moving into areas of higher density. So maybe sacrificing the Hills Hoist for a courtyard and living closer to the CBD where they may find commuting times are a little bit better. But I think this study really does highlight that we're still seeing this great Australian dream where families are aspiring to detached housing with a decent backyard is still very much alive and well. But I think when you consider the price tags for detached housing and the fact that lots are generally getting smaller, particularly for new greenfield developments around the outer fringes, I think we are seeing a change in the way families are choosing to live.
Great talking to you, Tim Lawless from CoreLogic. Thanks very much for your time, Tim.
Thanks, Kevin.